When was I here last, Uncle Jeff? A year and a half or so? Gosh, man, I just feel like God is doing something so special in this church. We had the 10-year on Friday, and I really believe that God's just given me some downloads in the Spirit for this morning. I believe that some people this morning are going to be radically changed. Why don't you take a seat really quick? The one thing that God spoke to me during worship, and he spoke to me this when we were in the airport, me and Lizzie, I was walking, it was like just God just hit me with it, is there's a great difference between good information and life-changing revelation. There's a big difference between information and revelation. Some churches, they give great information, but if you never have revelation, you'll never be changed. What's the difference between information and revelation is that information informs you, revelation changes you. And I believe that there could be one line this morning, one line, one word, and God's going to reveal it to you, and it can change you for forever. It could be one line, one encounter with the Holy Ghost, one encounter with the Word of God, one encounter with Jesus' love, and you will be forever changed. I want to agree this morning that we're opening our hearts to God this morning. This is not about Daniel and Compassionate Touch. This is about Jesus. I am here by the grace, the love, and the power of God. That is my message. I am here because God made the impossible possible in my life. I'm doing what I love to do because God created this life. He literally, I remember all the plans that I had. I remember choosing this pathway, and it was God directing every single step. And it was revelation, not information, that changed my life. So let's pray this morning. Let's agree that God is just going to reveal something through the Word of God this morning. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give us revelation. You said, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit to reveal all things to us, God. So I pray that as I speak your word with boldness, God, that you would open our eyes to see the wonders that you've given us on this life, in this earth, God. Lord, I pray that you would unlock dreams. I pray that you would unlock callings. I pray that you would unlock visions, that you would allow us to see the things that you predestined, that you ordained before the foundations of the earth. God, I pray that you would remove me from the equation, God. And Lord, that you would speak revelation power to transform us and change us. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to lay some groundwork for this message really quick. And it's going to culminate to what I believe is going to very much, it's going to, you know, some messages, I'm a preacher. I like to go to the nations and preach the gospel, the simple message of Jesus. This message is a teaching message. This message just breaks it down, man. I mean, no matter where you're at, what you're going through, you're a new believer, you've been a believer for 40 years, I believe that God is going to unlock something. But I want to lay some groundwork first for the first 5 to 8 minutes. And I just want you just to stay expectant with me. Stay expectant for what God's going to unlock. So this is what God was sharing with me. I was in my prayer time just for a couple hours, just pressing in, man, pressing in. And I remember I was struggling with something that I was kind of going through with a friend in my life. And I was so frustrated with their definition of God. And I was so frustrated, if you have anyone in your life, I was so frustrated with their limitation of what they believed that God could do. And I remember God spoke this to me. He said, Daniel, don't pursue to define me, but rather pursue to discover me. And this message is entitled Discovering God. If you've come here this morning and you are at a lack of pursuit of God, and you're like, I'm running dry. I don't know why. I don't have a zeal and passion to pursue God. I don't know if I know who God is. I believe that God's going to just inspire you to pursue Jesus with all his heart. Don't pursue to define God. Rather, pursue to discover him. The word understanding comes from a place of arrival. If you understand it, you don't need to pursue it, right? If you understand it, if you defined it, then you understand it. And if you understand it, then you don't need to pursue after it. And instead of asking God to bring our understanding up to him, we bring God down on our level. And I believe that many Christians have limited their discovery of God by their definition of God. I'm going to say that again. I believe that a lot of people here have limited their ability to discover God by their definition of God. So what does that mean? You know, we're finite beings, and we serve an infinite God. We have everything that we do in life we're limited to, okay? When we wake up in the morning, we're limited because we need sleep. We're limited in our words. We're limited in our definitions. We're limited in our understanding. And yet we try to define God with our limited understanding. So what that means in life is what are you going through right now? Do you need God to heal you? Do you need God to provide for you? This is what God spoke to me. He said, most people define life through the scope of their circumstances. Think about looking through a telescope. When you're looking through, you don't see 99% of the picture. You only see what you're going through. And a lot of Christians define God through what they're going through. They don't have God provide for them, so all of a sudden God's not the provider anymore. They pray for healing and someone doesn't get healed, or they don't get healed, or a family member passed away, and all of a sudden God's not the healer anymore. And we define God, and in that definition we limit him. The moment we define him, we can only limit who he is. We're asking God, Lord, we need you to provide for our finances. We serve a God that created the heavens and the earth, but we don't think that he could make a diamond appear in our pocket. We hear people say, well, you know, they had diamonds falling in their service. Oh, that's heresy. That's not possible. What do you mean? God is a God of the impossible. God can do all things. You've defined God. I've listened, and I really think it's as we grow older and we get beat up in life and we go through things that we define God and we limit him, and we've lost our childlike faith to think that God could have diamonds falling in services, that God can provide in ways that are crazy, that God can do the supernatural. He healed your son. If God could heal your son in what he went through, he could do anything, man. That is like he reformatted your DNA with what you had in your body. It's crazy. So this is what I'm asking you this morning is, where have you defined God? We need to undo what we've defined God in so we can see our lives radically impacting this world for the kingdom of God. Many people define life and they define God through the scope of their circumstances. And this is the crazy part, is the moment you define him, you only limit him. Our definition only hinders who he really is. You know, I don't feel loved by God. My five senses don't sense God, so I don't really feel like he's there with me. But he said he never leaves you nor forsake you, so you're just not aware of his presence, but he's right there with you. You can't define him by what we feel. We need to discover him. We need to get into a pursuit of God that we've never had before. In Ephesians 3, verse 19 and 20, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That sentence doesn't even make sense. To know, which means coming to a it's coming to an understanding, which means you've arrived to know the love of Christ, which then passes your knowledge. Come on. That you may be filled, which means filled, complete, 100%, with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that you ask or think according to the power that works in us. Anything you ask, you've already under-asked. Because he said he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that you ask or think. So the minute you ask, you've already under-asked God. So before you ask, think about how you can over-ask what you were about to ask. And God will do exceedingly and abundantly because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. When you have your heart fixated on discovering who God is, fulfilling the call of God, and fulfilling that, when your eyesight is fixed on Jesus and your heart is fixed on doing what God's called you to do, that's when you can ask anything from God and he will do it and he will make it possible. When your heart is right, isn't that crazy to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge? Philippians 4 verse 7 says, in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We took 72 missionaries to Peru, And right now, me and Lizzie are really, truly, literally living the impossible. It's crazy. We don't sit back and think about it enough, the things that God has done. It's just God. It's not us. It's God. Only God can do it. And we're taking these missionaries and my one friend a week from the trip. Remember, everyone's already raised $23.95. That's a lot of money. It takes a lot of energy to raise that. It takes a lot of faith to raise that money. You know, my friend's like, you know what, man? God's told me to go on this trip. I'm like, bro, we're leaving in a week. He's like, well, God's told me to go on this trip. I'm like, okay, that's great. Well, he's like, well, I got to quit my job because they gave me an ultimatum. Unless you quit, we're going to fire you if you leave. You can't leave 1 week in advance. And a lot of people say, well, man, that was really, you know, immature, and he should definitely. I mean, there's a lot of, everyone's got wisdom right now. We could go row by row. Okay, what do you think about that? Well, that would be very, you know, inappropriate, and that would be immature, and he wasn't thinking. And we have wisdom, and we have understanding, and we have knowledge. And so what I gave him is I gave him a soundboard. I said, well, this is what, Nick, I think that you shouldn't quit because, you know, you need that job. And you know what? You got to be faithful to that job, and God gave you that job. And you know, he goes, but this is what I said at the end. I said, Nick, you got to do what you got to do because I'm not your Holy Spirit. You got to hear from God. So he prayed for a couple hours. He just knew that God called. So he went into work. He said, listen, this is what God's told me to do. I have to do it. He's talking to non-Christians. they're like, this guy's crazy, man. He's like, God told me I got to go on this trip. They go, well, you're going to have to quit. He goes, okay, well, I quit. And then he said immediately the peace of God came over him, and it passed my understanding. It passed my wisdom. It passed the two-week notice he should have given, which most wisdom, I don't see that in the Word of God, the two-week notice. Because I think that we're stuck in an old definition of what God can do. He came back and he got a better job in 1 week. I'm just saying, like, God completely gave him the peace through the Holy Spirit that passed knowledge. God's not performance-based. We're performance-based. What you did yesterday, we want to know that. How are you performing in life? How are you performing in your job? We're all about performance. What are the numbers from last week? How much was the offering? How much? We're all performance-based. God's not performance-based. He's not as good as his last time he operated in your life. He is who he is. That's what he said. He said, Moses, tell him, I am who I am, and I'll always be who I am. He has never changed. He stays the same. He's constant, and he's discovered through his word. He is not performance-based. Man, he is not defined by what you're going through, but he can change everything right there in a moment. So this is where I want to shift, and this is where it gets really fun, man. We get to talk about dreams and passions. So this is what I really believe is that as American Christians, we live a lot of our life circumstantially. This is super practical. I want some people, and man, I'm telling you, Uncle Jeff and Aunt Diana, God gave me something, man, for you guys. It's gonna rock your life, man. Our lives are dictated by circumstance. Most of us. When I say most of us, I mean you got a very small percent of the world that's Christian, and then you got most of them non-Christian. And both, I mean, I think that the statistics would still be very, very close. We live circumstantially. What does that mean? So we go by each circumstance. We don't purpose what we're going to do. We allow circumstance to dictate what we're going to do. We are dictated by circumstance rather than simply just our stance. And our stance in life is dictated by purpose. Let me say that again. Our stance in life is dictated by purpose. The word purpose is predetermined. Am I, are you guys following me? So our stance in life is dictated by purpose, and purpose is predetermined. This is my question. What's your one-year goal? What's your 10-year goals? Write them down. Put them before your face. The dominant image in your life will be your direction in life, your purpose. But as in life, what happens is we don't purpose our 5-year goals, our 1-year goals, our 1-year dreams. Forget about goals. Our 1-year dreams, our 10-year dreams. Here, let's put that super practical for a moment. Our pursuit in life is set out with purpose. We need purpose to dictate our stance. Christians don't have a stance on homosexuality. So when when it comes up in church, we have churches that are divided. We have pastors that are preaching it's okay because they don't have a stance. They never purposed beforehand. They never predetermined what they needed to set a stance in their lives. See, here's the thing. All of us, we're going to find a wife or a husband, or we're going to have a job. We want to have a family. We want to have great relationships with our mother, our fathers, our sons, our daughters. We want to know the supernatural. We want to know the fruits of the Spirit. We want to know all these things. But you have to purpose in life to be a great father, to be a great father. If you don't purpose that you want to have an awesome wife, then you're going to try to find your wife in the bar. We need to begin to focus in and purpose everything that we're going to do in our life, and that's how God's going to direct us, right? This is what Jesus said in John 6:38. He said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will and purpose, but to do the will and purpose of him who sent me." Jesus had a will and he had a purpose, but he set out to do the purpose of Jesus. You see it so many times, he went into the desert place. He woke up early. He sought Jesus. He sought God, and he purposed what he was going to do in life every single step of the way. Without purpose, we can't be purposeful. We're not purposeful because we're a now generation. We want it now, man. I want to know, I want to have my email right now. I don't want to wait to get on a computer like we used to have to do 5-10 years ago. I want it right now at my fingertips, right? I don't have to purpose anything because life is so fast, man. I'm always doing. I never get to sit back, get in the presence of God, and purpose what I'm going to do that year, purpose what I'm going to do that month. And what happens is we go off of circumstance, off of circumstance, off of circumstance, and we allow ourselves to go down a road that God never wanted us to go down. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk." So what that means is, what have you done this last week? Look carefully how you've walked. Look carefully in the last week. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Here's my question to you. Do you live accurately? Do you have a plan that's accurate? Do you have a purpose that God's put inside you? Not just a man, but what's your purpose for this next year? What do you want to see happen? What do you want? Do you know someone, any intelligent people? I like using like doctors and dentists. I mean, those people going to school for 7 years, if you're going to do surgery, 13 years, they are so purposeful in everything they do. If they get caught and have a DUI, they get kicked out and they can never do any of that stuff. And they get kicked right out of school. They are purposeful in literally almost every action they make. When they're in surgery, they're purposeful on what they're going to do in that surgery before they go and do it. And life is throwing a lot of things at us. And we're defining God by all these circumstances and all the things we're going through. But we need to sit back and begin to purpose what we want to see God do in our life. If you don't purpose for greatness, then you'll default at mediocrity. That's what God was sharing with me. Man, if you don't purpose for greatness, then you'll default for mediocrity. The default for greatness is mediocre. And this is where it culminates for me. This is where this message comes alive, because I can't give you something I haven't lived. If I don't live it, I really can't give it. I really believe that. I believe that by the Spirit of God, he can shift things in your life. But I believe that this is where the dreams of God have taken place in my life. I believe it's truly by a massive amount of Holy Spirit faith that I never knew how it came over me. I just continued to ask God. But you can't purpose something you can't see. So here's my question. Can everyone just close your eyes really quick? I think that all of us have seen things that we've wanted to happen in our lives. I think we've wanted and we've seen. If we closed our eyes sometimes and we had an amazing day, we'd close our eyes and we'd see some dreams. I'm closing my eyes right now with you, and I can see crowds of people. I can see exciting things. I can see kids in my family. I can see me and Lizzie having an awesome family. We're excited. We're living in a great house. We're happy. We're all smiling and laughing. And now you can open your eyes. What do you see when you close your eyes? Because if you don't see it, you can't be it. What you see is what you'll be. And this is my example for that. If you don't see yourself happily married, you will not be happily married. I can tell you that right now. If you don't see yourself in a good job, you won't be in a good job. A lot of people, they don't see themselves blessed. Then you can't be blessed. God wants you to see it and believe it before you can actually be it. That's faith right there. If you don't see, a lot of people say, well, you know, those rich people, well, I mean, you've already taken yourself out of the fact that you could be rich because you don't see yourself rich. And man, I believe that God, I'm not this like crazy, if you would call me, I'm not a poverty preacher. So I guess I would be a prosperity preacher because I believe that if God gave me $1 million, man, it would go right into all these other people's hands and it would be changing the kingdom of God. People would be getting saved and it wouldn't be just going into all the things that Daniel wants. That's why I pray. We pray the $1 million donor. We pray that God's going to just financially set us up like no one's business. Man, I can see myself where I want to be. Where do you want to be in life? Because what I think is, I think some people saw themselves happily married. They saw themselves doing great things from God. They saw themselves with a successful ministry, but some things in life beat you up. Some things in the natural didn't support what you saw, so you gave up on your dreams. You know, I went through a bad relationship, and right after that, I truly gave up on love. I mean, yeah, little 23-year-old Daniel. Yeah. You know, I've proved myself over so many years now where I'm telling you, I know that this is so real. This is so real. This is so real. I gave up on love. I legitimately came to God and I said, forget this. It's not real. I don't believe that there's someone out there that can treat me good, that will treat me the way that I deserve. I don't believe that there's someone beautiful out there that will care about me. I don't believe I'll ever be happily married. And so God said, well, I got to hold Lizzie back. And during that time, I didn't see any girls that were nice to me. I didn't hang out. And I believe that I couldn't see it, so I couldn't be it. But I remember when God shifted that in my life. And I began to release prayers into heaven. I said, God, I believe that you have something better for me than what I had. And I began to see it. I began to speak it. I began to see it. And I began to purpose. I said, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would protect my wife. I pray, God, that you would make her a woman of your word. I pray, God, and I began to build my faith. I began to cry out and say, God, I pray that you would protect her, that you'd fill her. God, I pray that you would make her pure. Lord, I pray that you would convict. I pray that you would convict her of her sin, shift her towards you, make her all out for you, Jesus. And I literally, I'm telling you, I remember beginning to see it. I would see it. I'd close my eyes and I'd see myself happily married. And literally, I tell people it was like in a day. It was like a moment. Lizzie came right in my life. And it was because God knew I could be it because I saw it. Same thing with our ministry. Before the ministry ever existed, it was March 19th, 2011. I remember sitting in the room, 3 a.m, presence of God just so heavy I couldn't even get up. I was sitting there like this, and I was looking, and there's two people in the same room, and I'm like, are they feeling what I'm feeling? They're sleeping, so they weren't feeling it. But I couldn't get up. It was the presence was so heavy. I'm not even kidding you. I was laying there with my iPad, and I was just like, wow. And I just was praying in the Spirit. And I remember, without even closing my eyes, I saw crowds of people. I remember seeing buildings and water wells, and I remember seeing it. And in the last 3 years, we've lived it. We've seen it. We've seen the buildings go up. We've seen the water wells. We've seen the crowds of people. I remember actually seeing certain cultural people and seeing those same ethnicities in real life, in real image. Sometimes I'm preaching up there and I'm like, I'm so surreal. You know what I mean? Because if you can see it, God can do it. Amen, come on. Thank you, Jesus. I said this a little bit on Friday, but it is so big. Write it down. You can't outperform your belief system. Your faith cannot outperform what you believe. You can't do what you don't believe. And if you can't see it, you can't be it. If you can't see it, you can't believe it. So what you believe is what you'll be. you'll never be anything more. You can only be anything less. Where have you limited God by your definition of him? I'm telling you, where have we limited God by our limited understanding? Where have we defined him? Where have we said, well, you know, God can heal, but there's no but in that equation. If there's a but, then there's a problem. This is good right here. I really feel like the Lord was saying that with what you guys have had prophesied over your lives, you've heard it now, but now you need to begin to close your eyes, get together late at night. You need to begin to ask God to let you see it. Because when you can see it, then you can drive, and it's your driving point to where you're about to go. I think a lot of Christians, we have great thoughts. We have great thoughts, right? We know the Word of God. We can read it, and we can rehearse it, and we have these thoughts. But I believe for it to go deep, the imagination, that's what the Word of God talks about, the imaginations of the heart. That's the deep thought. And when you let it sink into the imagination and you begin to see it, because that word imagination is you can see it, you can imagine it, that's when you can be it. Don't let it just be a thought. That's what I felt like the Lord was saying. Don't let it just be a thought. God is going to let you see it. He's going to let you see the women's ministry. And then when you see it, then you can, you believe it when you see it. I mean, when God gives you that vision and that dream. And so that's what I felt with, like, it wasn't just going to be a thought, like, oh, yeah, God wants me healed. God wants me blessed. It's going to be so deep. It's going to be in the imagination. In Luke 1:51, it says, he has scattered the proud in their imagination of their heart. In the Greek, that word imagination is thoughts. It actually means the disposition, which means it's the decision maker of your heart. The word imagination is the thing that makes your decisions in your heart. That word means deep thought. There's a difference between thoughts and imaginations. The things that you think haven't sunk down into here. You can't imagine them. So if you say, well, yeah, God wants me healed, 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 you might only have it up here. It's not an imagination yet. But when you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, when you can see yourself healed before you're ever healed, then it's not a thought. It's a deep thought. It's sunk so deep into the heart that no performance could take that away, that you know that God wants you healed. We need to ask God to increase that imagination. Romans 1:19-23, it says, when they knew God, so this is talking about Christians, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like the corruptible man. Think about that for a second. It's saying that they brought God onto their level. The incorruptible God into the corruptible man's image. They brought God onto their level, and it started in their imagination. It started in what they see. And I'm telling you, I could stand up here, and I can hear all these lies. Are they getting it? They're not getting it. I'm telling you right now, I know that this is the word that changes people. Because you have to believe in yourself to live a victorious life. And people don't believe in themselves because they don't believe in the God that created them. They don't believe that he is the God of the impossible because they've never seen anything impossible happen in their life. Because they never believed anything impossible. And they lived comfortable because it's safe. You know, if you live in everything that you see, then you're never disappointed. Then you never need a faith. But God wants you to see something impossible. And then he wants to perform that impossible through you. He wants to put it in your imagination. We were at the cider mill in Michigan, and we saw this little kid, and he had Batman shirt on. He had Batman sweatpants on. I think he even had some form of superhero shoes on. And this kid, I pointed, I go, Lizzie, this kid literally reminds me of me when I was a little kid. Because we would be in a crowd. He had a big family, and he didn't know anyone was with him. I mean, this kid was fighting off so many bad guys. He was punching and kicking. He was going after it. He was back kicking. I mean, it was the goofiest, funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. because that's how I used to be. I mean, I was like, I would literally get lost. I would see things that weren't even there, fighting them. I'd be playing Legos, going crazy. I had this imagination. Kids have this imagination because they haven't gotten anything kicked out of them. They're so young and pure and innocent. They have this imagination. This kid is fighting all these people, and nothing else matters to him. And we need to ask God to allow ourselves to imagine and dream again. Some people in here need to dream again. And it can't just be what's in you. It's got to be, God, dream through me, God. Let me see something that I used to see that I gave up on. We've all given up on a dream. We've all given up on an imagination. We've all given up on something that we've been disappointed on. And God wants us to have our imagination. Even just in the English dictionary, we know that that word imagination has to do with closing your eyes and seeing something. It does. It completely does. This is the most powerful scripture to living such a victorious life. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 5, it talks about the war that we're in. It's in the verse before, in verse 3, it says that we are in a war. There is a war for your soul. It's not just a war for your soul. It's the war on how you're going to live here on this earth. It's the war on your calling. It's the war on your purpose. It's the war on what God's created you to do. And it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. It says that there are strongholds, the very first stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Knowledge, thoughts, casting and breaking, pulling things down that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, the understanding of the impossible of God, and bringing into captivity every single word. No, bringing into captivity every single thought. The thoughts, what's in our mind, where it starts in our mind, our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. This whole scripture is talking about what we see and what we think. It's talking about being purposeful about what we do, pulling down strongholds. And I believe that right there it's saying casting down imaginations. What have you imagined that you couldn't do? You don't think that God could give you a job? I mean, this Nick quit, got a better job, boom, just like that. Raised all the money, boom, just done. Happened, 1 week. He did it because he saw it. He saw it. He believed it. People laughed at him. He did it respectfully, but he just said, I got to do what God's told me to do. I don't want to make man happy. I want to make God happy. And I've come to this point where I can't keep making man happy. I got to make God happy. And most of our thoughts were scared to do the impossible because someone might see us fail. Someone comes in with a wheelchair, it's kind of like, we're like, okay, I know that guy wants him to be healed, but okay, what if they go get healed? Okay, is Uncle Jeff going to think I'm weird if I pray for him and I try to pull him out of the wheelchair and he falls back down? These are the things that go through our mind. So the first attack is your thoughts, your imaginations. You start to see things before you ever even do them, so you can't even do them. Because then I'm like, well, forget that, it's not worth the ratio. I'm an accountant, so it's like I'm like the ratios of success and failure. If I fail, it's easier if I don't fail and I just sit back and don't do anything. But then you don't see anything. If Moses didn't go out and see the Red Sea parting before he did it, I mean, it took faith to like go out in front of 3 million people, raise your staff, and hit the water. Can you imagine what he was thinking? Okay, God, what am I hitting the water for? What if the water doesn't do it? What about the 3 million people behind me? The Israelites are coming. The mountains are on the other side. What is going to happen? Like, think about that. We have to step out. We have to purpose. But we need to see it. We need to see it. We need to see our dreams. We need to see what God can do before he's going to do it. And for you guys, I really believe that God's... Jerry talked about it. Didn't he say you're going to see it, Aunt Diana, at the nighttime? Yeah, 10 months, 10 dreams, 10 visions for the next 10 months. That's the Holy Spirit, man. Just confirm me. I mean, so many things that Jerry said confirm this word that you are going to see it, and then it's going to happen. You begin to declare by faith. And it's like scary. It's like we're going to have a worship team, but you need to like see it like radically. And then when you see it, then you can just go after it like it's no one's business. So I'm telling you, you're going to see the 10. You saw the 10. You saw a few of the 10 pulled out. You know you're going to have it. You're going to believe it. You're going to see it, and that's when it's going to happen. So this is what I'm asking everyone this morning is, where have you given up in the imagination that God has given you when you were a child, when you had that childlike faith? Where do you not see it? Can everyone just stand up really quick? And Matt, you can play a little worship music if you want. That would be awesome. I saw it before it happened, but I saw at this altar a few people coming up, and I saw just laying hands on them with Aunt Diana and Uncle Jeff, and I saw like deposits of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't like a feeling, because it's not about feeling. It's about impartation. It's not about information. I could give you a lot of great advice. It's about impartation of the Holy Ghost, where something inside of me or from the Holy Spirit goes inside of you. And as time goes on, you see just God just spark things in you, speak to you in ways that you've never been spoken to before. You're probably wondering, well, Daniel, I don't see God as my heavenly father, because my earthly father, that's how I see God. And my earthly father abused me, and my earthly father molested me, my earthly father. So I don't understand intimacy with the Father, because I see intimacy in a different way. Daniel, I don't see having a relationship with God intimate and close and awesome, because I went through a divorce, or I went through a hard time with my wife, and she cheated on me and this and that and blah, blah. And so God is going to restore this morning. He's going to allow you to see things. Faith is the things that we've seen. It's the things we've hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we've seen, right? God's going to restore those things this morning. So let's just close our eyes and let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we just lift your name up right now. We thank you, God, that you are the God of the impossible. God, that it says in the last days that you would pour your Spirit out on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters would prophesy, that the old men would see visions, that the young men would dream dreams. And God, I believe that these are those days. God, we need you to expand our belief system. God, I ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that this morning you would allow an impartation of the Holy Spirit to expand what we've seen. With everyone's eyes closed, feel like there's someone here too that's sitting in their seats and saying, I don't even know where to begin, because I am living day by day. What's going to happen? Because I can't even see a day in the future. And I need God to restore that completely. Matt, you could turn the music up just a little bit. With everyone's eyes closed, I want you to be honest with God. Not with me, but with God. And I want you to raise your hand if you say, Daniel, I've given up on something that I used to see. If that's you this morning, you say, Daniel, I've given up on some of the principles that God's written in His Word because I haven't seen it. And I want God to dream through me again. If that's you, could you just raise your hand? If you say, I've seen God in a way that I used to not see Him because life circumstances have pulled me down. And I want to see it again. I want an impartation of seeing the impossible through me. I have not seen myself lay hands on the sick and they recover. So that's why I haven't stepped into it. Jesus, you can put your hands down. I just want to take some time to just lay hands on you and just pray with you and believe that God is just going to impart. If you raise your hand and you want to get prayed over, would you just come right to the front?